Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. It was really sad when the Austin-based festival South by Southwest was canceled for the first time in its more than 30-year history. South by Southwest is this occasion where many independent filmmakers get to showcase their work, and its cancellation meant that a number of films didn't get to have their world premieres and weren't able to score distribution. So we thought, what if we reach out to some of those filmmakers and creative folks who were going to screen and discuss their work at South by Southwest? And we invited those people to be on our show, which is in Soho. That idea turned into a series. For the rest of this month, we're calling South by South of Houston. We started yesterday and we'll continue having conversation with many of these folks whose schedules recently opened up to give them an opportunity to show off their work. Today, we're talking about a film called The Surrogate. This story is about a Brooklyn-based Black woman who is a surrogate for her best friend and his husband. And it's all very exciting until they're told early on in the pregnancy that the baby would be born with Down syndrome. With me now is Jeremy Hirsch, the writer and director of The Surrogate, his debut feature. Welcome, Jeremy.
Hi, thanks so much for having us.
Of course, and also joining us is the film star, Jasmine Batchelor. Hi, Jasmine.
Hey.
So, Jeremy, this is a challenging story. What inspired it?
Well, I am lucky enough that when I came out to my parents, they were immediately telling me, like, you're going to have all the same rights as anyone else, as straight people, including having biological children if you want. And in college, I had a couple different friends of mine kind of casually and sometimes drunkenly say, like, you know, when we're older, if you want me to be your surrogate, I'm down. Like, I want to do that. So I kind of had this romanticized idea of what that might look like. And as the more and more I looked into it and just thought about it, the more I realized, like, it's not that simple. You know, prenatal genetic testing has just recently gotten to the point where you can find out pretty early in the pregnancy about Down syndrome. And I think that that poses some complicated questions that are relevant to everyone. And just the more I was researching and looking into this stuff, the more interesting it was to me.
Jasmine, how did you become attached to this project?
Oh, well, I auditioned for the film by way of the amazing casting director, Erica Hart, who I knew when she used to work at ABC. So she called me and a bunch of other New York theater actors in to audition for the role. And when I first read it, I was floored. I'd never read anything like it. I'd never heard a voice as singular as Jess's. So I was really eager to audition for it, and I'm, you know, so glad that it actually worked out.
Yeah, Jess is an interesting character. She's really, really layered. At times, mm-hmm. I think as a viewer, you're really for her, and at other times, you just want to be like, Jess, you just want to give her a smack sometimes, to be honest. when you think about Jess, she wants to help her friend. She wants to be the surrogate. And I'm not giving too much away that they have a difference of opinion once they learn about the Down syndrome. So what is motivating Jess? What do you think is motivating her to question everybody about their decision?
I honestly think it's a radical empathy that is, you know, fueling her. But I also think that with that radical empathy, there is a sense of, as a viewer, because I've watched it a couple of times now, there's a sense of selfishness, and not in a malicious way or anything, just in a way that's like, am I doing what's right? You know, it's a self-focus. Am I doing what's right by this person? So can I do right by this person? And this, can I please everyone around me? And because she comes from that kind of mindset, in addition to the radical empathy for others, it's kind of malicious that she is just talk about, I don't know, it's kind of hard for her to talk about things from a logical point of view sometimes. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it you're right, it does come across to me like, oh girl, like chill, just understand boundaries. But I think she's ignoring those boundaries because she really wants to do what's right by everyone. And in that, she forgets about herself.
And I think she's someone who is very intellectual and is kind of looking at things from a very like theoretical place, as opposed to necessarily thinking about what's practical. And I think as she's looking into this, and this mirrors my own research process for the film, she's realizing that she had a lot of misconceptions about Down syndrome and about, you know, the reality of what life is like in, you know, the present day for people with Down syndrome and the extent to which that affects one's quality of life. And I think also, especially in New York, something that she's seeing and something that I've noticed when I moved here is that I think disability is something that's a huge blind spot for otherwise progressive people. I mean, New York in general, like we pride ourselves on being progressives, and yet it's a place that is really not physically accessible to mm-hmm. disabled people in terms of just there being stairs everywhere, and also is a place that, can definitely leave disabled people out of conversations that when we're talking about, you know, fighting for disenfranchised peoples.
My guests are writer-director Jeremy Hirsch and Jasmine Batchelor. We're talking about their film, The Surrogate, which was going to be at South by Southwest, but now it's going to be at South by South of Houston on the show. So the couple in the film are played by, it's Chris Perfetti and Sullivan Jones, who a lot of people will recognize. He was most recently in Slave Play on Broadway. This is a question for both of you, and I'll start with you, Jeremy. What did you want to explore about the friendship dynamic and then the male and female dynamic, because Jess is best friends with Josh, with Chris's character?
Yeah, well, a lot of different things. I grew up, I think like the main queer stories that I saw as a kid were relationships between straight women and gay men on TV that were portrayed in a very, like simplistic and like overly saccharine way. And I wanted to portray like a realistic version of that. Something I realized in the research was that there's a lot of people who think surrogacy is inherently objectifying of women, which is not necessarily something I think, but like in France, for example, like it's illegal, and if you look into the like the court documents where they ruled that, they used the word instrumentalization of women. So I did want to look at the power dynamics where it's this situation where this woman is putting herself kind of, you know, and she says, you know, and a lot of surrogates that I talk to and a lot of like accounts of surrogates that I've read will say, you know, I'm just the vessel. I'm putting, you know, you in charge. You're the parents. And that's really empowering for those queer parents or parents who, you know, otherwise weren't able to have biological children. It's the situation where these guys kind of do have this power dynamic. There's a little bit of a just inherently imbalanced power dynamic there. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, sure. Jasmine, did you want to get in on this?
Sure. So I think it's incredibly interesting that Jeremy has written Jess as a Black woman specifically in this instance, because, you know, of the historical context of Black women taking care of children and then being portrayed throughout American history as the caretakers, through whether that be with childcare or with revolutions or, you know, how we just like the tropes of Black women in American history. And so seeing that layered into, you know, what seems to be a pretty mutually beneficial friendship at first, seeing how that is interwoven with, like, you know, the disadvantages of, you know, okay, well, obviously we have a power dynamic here that is not clear in the beginning, you know, that Josh and Aaron have the say-so, and I say that I'm just a vessel, but then, you know, I hope I don't want to give anything away, but then I start to take power over that dynamic. And then there's the dynamic of obviously having a straight cis woman and her friendship with two gay men, you know, so there's that power dynamic also in that. There's so many different like layers to this friendship and to this agreement that get kind of messy and human and complicated in a really singular and beautiful way that I don't think I've seen on film yet. And so that was really exciting. But it also is, it's frustrating in the way that life really is, you know, like even within like Jeremy and my friendship, we come from very different socioeconomic backgrounds and very different cultural backgrounds. And so we, you know, unbeknownst to us, have to navigate those things as well. And so I'm hoping that this film, to whoever sees it, whenever they see it, they start to reflect on their own friendships and their own power dynamics within those friendships, regardless of whether they choose to be a surrogate or not.
The name of the film is The Surrogate, and my guests are writer-director Jeremy Hirsch and Jasmine Batchelor, who plays Jess in the film, the woman who is the surrogate. There's another layer to your character, Jess, that she is an upper-middle-class black woman whose parents have certain expectations, and they are not down with what is happening. And it was very interesting. What do you think the movie says about class and about expectation, especially for black middle class women?
Ooh, what a question, Allison.
I would say she's not middle.
Upper middle.
I would say just upper.
Upper middle, yes.
Yeah.
No, I would say just upper, like upper. Economically.
Okay. I have to be very honest with you, Allison. This was the part of the film that I had to really reach for in terms of acting, because I know what it's like to have parents that expect a lot, you know, and to have family that's like, we have these goals set for you and you have to do better than the people that came before you, and they came before you to give you these resources to do better. That's something that was really accessible to me. But I, as a person, did not know what it was like to come from that added level of pressure. And so I did a lot of, I mean, this sounds really silly, but I did a lot of research and asking others, and just online research and whatnot, about like cotillions and you know, things that go back as far as like Jack and Jill and things like that. And I started to really receive information from my friends that it's a different level of pressure, that there is a sense of expectation that goes beyond even what I feel like with my family and what you would, I don't know, like honestly expect. And that scene where I have with my parents in the movie, and I'm trying to ask them about, you know, what I should do and ask them for a favor, if I'm not giving too much away. It's so interesting for me to watch as an audience member now, because it seems like what comes first, before, you know, a sense of like happiness and fulfillment emotionally, you know, is how is this going to be perceived, and how are you going to do financially, and what is this going to look like for your legacy? It seems like legacy is a really big point in that scene. I don't know, Jeremy, would you agree with that?
Yeah.
So, Jeremy, I'm so curious. You know, this is a really, you tackle such difficult topics in this film. Racial stereotypes, there's a discussion about eugenics in the film, abortion, about, it just, it's really, really thick and heavy. I'm just curious, was this difficult to write?
I would say the difficult part was just trying to do justice to all the different communities that are represented in it.
Right.
And,
So I
just did a lot of, trying to not only, talk to people, but to get people who were, you know, genetic counselors and just a whole like everyone who's who's kind of an expert or just part of the groups that are represented in it, surrogates, of course, and just get them to read it and give me notes. And I found that was, those were the most helpful notes that I got, like more so than, you know, film people.
Oh, that's really interesting. So what is the future of the film, Jeremy?
To be honest, we don't know right now. We're in kind of an uncertain place, and we're trying, you know, we're just maintaining hope that we can still find distribution. And, you know, we're waiting to hear back from a number of festivals that are later in the year. Yeah.
And in our last minute or so, Jasmine, I'll ask you this. What do you hope people, when they do get to see this film, I'm going to be positive, they are going to get to see this film.
Yes.
What's one thing you hope they take away? And I haven't given you much time. You got about a minute.
Oh, I hope they take away conversation. I hope they leave and they have conversation with their friends and their family about what happens in the film and what it would mean in their relationships. And I hope it opens up a conversation that maybe they wouldn't have. You know, it's all about community.
The name of the film is The Surrogate. It was written and directed by Jeremy Hirsch. It is starring Jasmine Batchelor. We're going to put it out in the universe. It will be seen somewhere soon. Jeremy and Jasmine, thanks for joining us on All of It.
Thank you so much, Allison.
Thank you.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart, and I'll meet you at the top of the hour.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.